This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, speaking with the historian of intelligence agencies, Svetlana Lakova, the author of The Spy Who Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union Stole America's Top Secrets. We're discussing instances where, in particular, the British intelligence agencies, MI5, MI6, have used deception, forgeries, falsehoods, in order to advance the story of the state. Svetlana, let's go to the Zinoviev letter of 1924. What was that?
Right. So the Zinoviev letter, Zinoviev was somebody who was one of the key figures in the newly created Bolshevik government. So your listeners would know that after the Russian Revolution in 1917, the communists, the Bolsheviks, came to power. So again, arguably, they're the bad guys. And there was this argument that the Bolsheviks, and to extend at that point, they were trying to start the world revolution. And so there was a British election in the 20s, and the conservatives wanted to make sure that the Labour Party doesn't win. Again, arguably, they would have lost anyway. But in order to ensure that Labour, so this is probably one of the earliest examples of what we would now call an election interference, where the British government has forged a letter from one of the Bolshevik communist leaders from Russia, as if they're supporting a British political candidate. Now, in their world, in their worldview, that was all for a good cause, again, because they didn't want the Labour, to win the election. But the idea that you can forge a document, and now it's agreed by everyone, including the British government itself, that the letter wasn't it forged. Zinoviev, who was, number two, number three guy in the Bolshevik government, he never wrote that letter. The British wrote that letter, but that was one of the reasons why Labour lost, in a landslide, in effect.
Yes, all right.
Because the British public were convinced.
All right, the second instances of British intelligence forging or creating or deceiving, pick your verb. Now, a third story. This is Operation Mincemeat in Europe during the war, when the Allies had been successful in Operation Torch, North Africa, and the next step was not obvious. Was it going to be the mainland of Italy? Was it going to be Greece or Sardinia or the underbelly in the Balkans? Or was it going to be Sicily? So the Allies wanted to deceive the Germans. They did it by using a corpse. What did they do? Operation Mincemeat.
So they found a tramp, like just a guy, a regular dead body, that tramp, and the Brits dressed as if he's a British officer. They wanted, and they attached to this tramp the documents, which appeared to be British official documents, as if this is a British officer who was carrying, British intelligence and British plans, about invasion. And that body, the plan by the Brits was to get it to the Nazis. So the Nazis would think that the invasion would take in a different, different place, or the scale of the invasion would be taking place in a different place to what actually was the plan. Now, they wanted to make sure that the Nazis will find it themselves, so to speak. So what they did is they floated this body in the neutral waters, which is they dropped this dead body in the waters of Spain. That meant that the Germans found it themselves, because the Spanish passed on to them the dead body. So there was no possible reason why the Nazis would think that actually it's some kind of British op, because they found it, the Spanish passed it on to them. So then they find this dead body. And they find documents on his dead body of the alleged, what appeared to be a British officer. And the plans say that the British would, the idea was to disguise the invasion of Sicily. And in fact, that the real invasion by the Brits would be mainly focused on Greece and Sardinia. So as a result of this Operation Mincemeat, which was originally Operation Trout, which is to do with fishing, was to the result was that the Nazis put most of their enforcement, most of their divisions in Greece and Sardinia, whereas the reality was that the British actually, the main invasion was in Sicily. So that was a huge intelligence coup.
All right. We now have a deception by British intelligence in 1924 to interfere in the election to make the end of the Liberal Party, because Labour is humiliated and the Liberals are, the Liberal government fails. The Conservatives then gain power. We have a deception in 1941 with a forged map given to President Roosevelt, who believes it's accurate, to convince the American people that the Hitlerites mean to invade the New World. And we have a document completely fake in 1943 floated to the shoreline in Spain to convince the Nazis that the next invasion is Sardinia or Greece, not Sicily. Three deceptions by British intelligence. I add one more. There's the famous Zimmerman telegram of 1917, a document that was passed to Woodrow Wilson, who thought it was a genuine pass to him. In fact, British intelligence had guided that document into his hands, and that was a predicate for the U.S. declaring war on Germany. But we'll set that aside for the moment. Svetlana, all this indicates that there is a long tradition and a successful tradition at British intelligence, MI5, MI6, just the whole idea of British intelligence, of using deception to gain an advantage. Is that a fair generalization of how MI5, MI6 thinks of itself?
Correct. And that's what, again, I was an undergrad student at Cambridge and my specialization was intelligence history. And the British are very, very proud of that tradition. But I must add that you can only deceive, one can only deceive somebody who wants to be deceived. So, yes. For example, I highly doubt that when Stevenson, you know, passed this forged map to Bill Donovan, who was the head of what was, you know, to become the CIA, that Donovan, you know, didn't have any questions about that. It suited him too. So whilst the British are very good with their deception operation, it doesn't mean that the people on the receiving end were, you know, genuinely necessarily deceived at all times. So, for example, in the case particularly with this forged map, perhaps the Americans got what they wanted and they just didn't want to ask any questions. And so that clearly is a long tradition of maybe deceiving Americans, but maybe also giving, you know, Americans what it is they want or they need, but they can't produce themselves, right? And then the second point I want to make is that up until that point, okay, you know, arguably with the Zinoviev letter, you know, you could say, well, you know, that was a sort of election interference, etc. But with the other two instances, you were deceiving the Nazis, you were deceiving the bad guys. So that's fine. You know, that's a good thing, right? We should be doing that. And then the question rises, which I assume would be your next point, when do you, you know, draw the line? At what point deceiving the bad guys or doing operations against the bad guys becomes something else?
That's a question we're going to ask you when to be continued. Right now, we're going to end the history lesson about British intelligence successful operations to deceive. We will next speak of a possible explanation for the deception that we all know as Russiagate. Svetlana Lukova, she is the author most recently of The Spy Who Changed History, The Untold Story of How the Soviet Union stole America's top secrets. She's also the author most recently of Spygate Exposed, the story of Russiagate. And everything we've just said about deception applies exactly to a man named Christopher Steele. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.